Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, so TJ Reid this week was launching AIB's The Toughest Summer, a documentary which will tell the story of the summer of 2020, which saw an unprecedented halt put to Gaelic Games. The series is made up of 5 webisodes, as well as a full-length feature documentary to air on RTE1 on August 25th. Now, TJ features in the first webisode that will be available on AIB's YouTube channel this Thursday. TJ, you're very welcome. How are you getting on?
Playing it.
It seems that you've become the Joe Wicks of Ireland over the past 3 months.
Yeah, I was compared to him, yeah. And when I was doing the classes, obviously you can see the comments rolling in, and then the comments and saying, oh, your classes are way tougher than Joe Wicks. So yeah, look, it was a bit of banter, a bit of crack as well. But yeah, no, I was very much compared to Joe Wicks. But yeah, I don't think I'll have the same following as Joe Wicks, though.
It wasn't a bad following you got, though. I saw you talking about the figures last month or the month before, and it seemed the reach you got was incredible.
Yeah, no, look, it was. It's very positive. Great engagement from the kids and parents all over Ireland and across the world as well. There was people in New York, Dubai, Texas, joining the classes. So, yeah, look, it was a great response, you know. I wasn't expecting it, you know. I was just doing this for that, keep that connection between the gym itself, you know, having a good PR availability to it. So, but yeah, look, the response I got was unreal, and you know, the kids logging on every Tuesday and Thursday, and they're very much excited about it. That was the only excitement that they had on a normal basis. So for me, just to give my time, give my effort and give my energy was very rewarding.
For people who didn't see it, it was essentially PE combined with GAA skills twice a week.
Yeah. So look, you know, obviously hurling for myself, training was stopped, and, you know, I was out pucking in the back garden myself just one day, and that's where I started as a four or five years of age. And you know, obviously, I seen Joe Wicks with the PE. I'd be fairly competitive, so I said, "Look, you know, I just have a notion myself. Wouldn't it be great to combine PE and GA skills together and into one?" Because for me, at that age, you know, I wasn't going to get much traction for kids doing burpees or doing jumping jacks. So I knew if I incorporated GA side of it and the skills side of it and combined two of them together, that I'd connect with an awful lot more kids around Ireland, which it did. So it was just a combination of cardio, some strength work, and then your basic GA skills. But the weather, again, was very much on my side. Because kids could go outside and strike the ball off the wall or the rebounder, so which was great. It was great for me because, you know, when you're trying to work inside in a small area, you're only looking at a few exercises to keep the kids occupied. So
yeah,
every week I was looking at new exercises. Okay, what can I do to keep the kids coming back and to keep them engaged? But you know, the feedback I got, you know, press ups was the hardest, and you know, I had kids who were the first day they could only do 4 or 5, and then by the end of 3 months they could do 15, 20 press ups. So you know, that was obviously when you see that being written back to you, it gives you great confidence that look, you've done something good for the kids.
Oh, without question. I'd say it's unbelievable for the kids like who were bored out of their tree for a lot of the lockdown, and having this avenue to actually play football or hurling or whatever, despite the fact that they couldn't get access to their GAA pitch. So it was an incredible thing he did during the few months. And the way you talk there, it just strikes me how so much has changed in the world over the last couple of decades. But one thing that hasn't changed in sport is the basic element of practicing your skills. A wall is still one of the most vital tools you could possibly have as a young hurler or footballer.
Yeah, look, you have to. When people ask Kenny or myself, you know, what do you do? You know, and we always tell them it's the basic skills, you know. And when you're going, being asked to go train a club or train a county, you know, they're thinking that you're going to come with these amazing drills and amazing training sessions. But realistically, if you don't have the basics right, well, then there's no point overcomplicating things. And, you know, as a kid growing up, it's about practicing and it's about repetition. And that's raising the ball, striking the ball off your left and right, catching the ball. Like the basic skill in GA or in hurling is catching the ball. And, you know, if you go into a match and you're dropping the ball, well, then you're giving your opponent that split second to get up onto your backside. So it's very much the basics. So that's where the PE and GA skills was just basic skills, fun. And, you know, obviously we had 3 months. I thought it was only going to be three or four weeks, but, you know, all the kids developed, they all got stronger. You've all seen a few little muscles coming developing. So all the parents were texting me and the kids were sending letters saying that they've improved their fitness, they've improved their strength, and they've improved their striking off their left and right. So for me, you know, it's the basic skills to give them, because there's no point overcomplicating things at that age.
And is there any concern that perhaps you had an influx of viewers from Tipperary or Wexford and you're after training the next generation of rivals by accident?
Yeah, look, there's great banter that way, yeah. And, you know, there's Wexford, Waterford, Tip logging on. You know, got a great response from up the north. Massive. I think the north, obviously I can see my insights of who was logging on, and it was the north who were the most logging on, because those guys, you know, we went to Newry to play Slough Neil up there. And the crowd, the atmosphere up there that day was unbelievable, because you know, these guys are up there on their own. They don't get to see much of us around. So, and then obviously for me doing the PE, I had every person up Northern Ireland log it on.
Yeah. What was your routine when you were that age, TJ, when you were a child trying to get to an extremely competent level as a young hurler? Was it a wall at home? Was it an alley you went to? Or how did you pick up those skills?
Yeah, I live out in rural Ballyhale farm. I have 3 brothers, 2 older, 1 younger. And yeah, very much so. It was from day one that you could walk, you're given a hurley and a ball. And after that, just developing your skills, you know, we used to go and change cattle, move cows from next field, and walking cows up and down the road. And we'd have a hurls and balls with us every time. And, you know, you'd be striking over and back over the cows. And so it was very much having the hurl in your hand every day of the week. I remember going to my first day in primary school, and I brought me hurl and Hemler with me. You know, I was only going to junior infants, and the principal told me to, no, TJ, you're not allowed to bring your hurl and Hemler. So I started crying the first day, because I wanted to play with the bigger boys, but I wasn't allowed. And then obviously you see the pictures in St. Kieran's College of the young lads bringing the hurls to school. So that was very much the same as me. You know, I was in school with Richie Hogan, Lester Ryan, Richie Power, and it was exact same as it is now. We just used to bring our hurls and balls with us every day of the week. And then, you know, as I said, it's about repetition. So we just, unknown to ourselves, we're developing and practicing, and then unknown to ourselves, then obviously we got the opportunity then to wear the black enamel jersey. But it all starts from a young age. you know, I played hurling, football, soccer. Wasn't very good at most of those, so I had to make the call to go hurling. So at that age, you're playing every sport. You know, player burnout at that age doesn't come into it. You're going playing rounders, you're playing tennis, basketball. You know, you're playing as much sport as you can. And then obviously, look, you become natural to one sport. All those sporting activities helps you develop as a player, not a player, but an athlete. You know, you're getting fitter, you're getting stronger, you're more agile, you know. So all those different sports do help players as well.
It seems that trying to play with the older fellas was something that was always part of your upbringing in a hurling sense, because you were the sub goalkeeper in the Fela team at the age of 10, I think.
That's right, yeah.
How did was there any hope for you as a goalkeeper beyond that, or when did they realise that you were too good to be put between the posts?
I was 10. I won a Féin na Gael All Ireland final down in Enniscorthy. We beat Tumi Vara in the final, and you know, it was a great memory. I remember it was a Friday. We had the parade through in Enniscorthy. You know, there was thousands of people outside. There was probably, I don't know how many teams were representing the Féile, but you'd, every club in the county were there present down in Enniscorthy. And remember, as a young kid at 10 years of age, the club gave us a gear bag and shorts and socks. And, you know, at that age, receiving that was like Christmas. And then parading through in Enniscorthy, the Artane band and the crowds out, you know, it was a special memory. And but yeah, I was a sub goalie. But my first year playing for Ballyhale Shamrocks, I was on goal as well. So I was 16. I was 16 playing for lining up for Ballyhale. I was on goal that year. I was on the 14 development squads for county. I was sub goalie as well, so I had had a good history of playing as a sub keeper. Lucky enough, I got a little bit bigger, a little bit faster. I lost my puppy fat, and I developed into a forward then. So I did.
Would you have held Owen Murphy off for the number one jersey?
I don't know. Looking at him the last couple of years. It will take a good goalie to knock Owen Murphy off.
It's interesting that you mentioned burnout there. Like, this seems to be the first real break you've got as a hurler since the age of 16. But at the same time, you're not one of those hurlers who ever seems to get injured. Like, at the same time, are you thankful for the break, or because of your good injury record, are you thinking to yourself, Jesus, this was very frustrating the way things happened this year?
For me, you know, I'm not getting younger. For me, it's a kind of a waste of a year. You know, unfortunately, just it is the way it is, and we have to accept the guidelines and accept the call from the government. But yeah, look, when you're playing, when you're involved, and when you're in business, and when you're playing sport, to lose 6 months of the year, it's a waste of a year. But yeah, look, it gave me the opportunity to take a break, mentally more so than physically. But like physically, I was training four nights in the week during the lockdown anyway. So in terms of physical shape wise and fitness levels, I'm in the best shape ever. Most players around the county had opportunity to look after himself in terms of the fitness. You know, there was no alcohol on board because pubs were closed. There was no restaurants or takeaways open, so players had the opportunity to mind themselves a little bit better. And obviously, like most people took up walking, cycling, and running. And people were probably walking twice, three times a day, cycling three times a day because of just boredom. So, and that's the same as us. You know, I'm sure players around the county were probably doing more now because they have more free time on their side. But for me, it was the mental side of it. You know, I hadn't a break ever. I was, you know, every Sunday, either training or a match. You know, Monday morning, you know, you're getting your head psyched for the next game, mental preparation, you know, you're trying to avoid going downtown because you'd be talking to people about the match or whatnot, or even talk about your own performance, you played bad or you played good, and psychologically then you're just, your head is on overdrive. So for me, yeah, I enjoyed the break in terms of the mental side of it, just being fresh, just waking up on a Sunday morning, doing things that I couldn't do, or even the Saturday before a game, you know, you're like, your head is focused on the game, you're not relaxed, you're thinking, you're focusing, your mind is thinking about the opposition. So yeah, for me, the mental side of it was nice to take a break, just to slow down, relax, enjoy what you have in front of you. But I was very lucky that look, I had a rural farm, I was on my farm every day, I have my own pedigree limousines at home, so I was very lucky that I could escape to that. Not a lot of people who are in towns and in apartments, unfortunately hadn't that, and I'm sure that was very tough. So when you're out in the rural areas, it's good to have the fresh air. And, you know, I live in a farm, so I have plenty of fields to go puck and go running. So it's very much fortunate for that.
When you say it's a good mental break, do you often think about your game then when you're in season? Like, if there wasn't a break this year, would you have been thinking a lot about how last year finished up, for example? Would it be something that goes through your mind quite a lot?
Well, yeah, look, for me, you get to look back on videos and certain matches, because obviously you had the time to look back on games and look back on last year. It gave, I'm sure the other players had opportunities. And look, we were doing Zoom calls as well, so with Brian Cody and we were and analysing games last year and whatnot. So look, yeah, it did give you time to look back on last year. And trying to, I suppose, look at the positives as well. And look, last year is last year. Yes, you look back, you learn from mistakes, you adapt to it, and you find areas where you can improve as a team. And this year, again, look, it's a totally different year, totally different hurling. If Championship does go ahead in November, December, it's going to be totally different than last year again because of weather conditions. Crowd is going to be different, so ball is going to be creasier, ball is going to be heavier, ground conditions are going to be slightly heavier. So again, last year is done and dusted. Tipperary are the champions, deservingly so, but this year is very much so. Just, I think every player just looking forward to getting back, I think, and yet in life when you're rushing, you kind of take things for granted. So I think when every player does get the opportunity to get back into their county jerseys, they'll cherish that jersey even more.
For sure. On a professional level then, how is the gym trade going? Because that is one of the areas that's one of the sectors that has been very, very difficult to reopen properly.
Yeah, back opened with protocols and booking systems and guidelines to monitor and to look after. We've no point lying about it. We've had casualties in terms of membership loss, and a good lot on that, because you know people have lost jobs, people are still have that uncertainty about the COVID. People have young families at home, grandparents at home, so the unfortunate thing, you're going to cancel your membership. Our job is to try to reassure them and give them confidence that we have X, Y, and Z going on here. It's a safe environment, but unfortunately we can't keep them here. So it is tough. We know at the end of this month what casualties we have, and then we just make a plan then for the next couple of months. But I'm very lucky that I have a 13,000 square feet premises.
Yeah.
I invested in a marquee, very much lucky enough that I have. So all the classes I provide are outside in the marquee, and then people who are coming to the gym are inside in the gym facility. So in the gym facility, so the two the classes and the gym is separated. So the people come to classes, they're not meeting people in the gym. So look, we went overboard, but we've done as much as we could to give people that confidence that look, this is the safe place to be. And look, it has been tough because I spent 3 years building the business, and then obviously our members, if I have zero members, unfortunately I don't have a business. So membership growth is the key. And yeah, look, we have lost people, but we've gained people on the back of other leisure centres not able to provide the service we're able to provide because we have the space.
Yeah.
All the equipment are 2 meters apart. The marquee is outside and we can fit 40 people socially distanced 3 meters apart out there. So we're very fortunate that we have the capacity to look after people.
Yeah, it seems that the space is a key thing at the moment in the entire industry. Just one last thing, TJ, before we let you go. We've been doing a series on the show over the last little while about the Mount Rushmore of every county and the top four sports people from their county. Needless to say, Kilkenny was ravaged with controversy with the decision that DJ Carey made it in ahead of Henry Shefflin. I won't ask you to talk about yourself or anybody else here, but in that particular battle, if you had to reverse that and the power was in your hands, would you have taken the opportunity to put Shefflin up there ahead of DJ?
I thought I'd be number one, no?
Needless to say, not even a debate.
look, I don't know. I can't comment because DJ is my selector at the moment, and Henry is living a puck of a ball away from me, so I can't make the decision on that. But if I was picking, I'll put DJ Carey full forward and Henry Shefflin number 11 and myself on the wing, and we'll have a good team.
Not a bad forward line there. How different were they as players in terms of the attributes they brought to the game, in your view?
Yeah, look, DJ was the goal getter, wasn't he? I think when DJ got the ball, he had that sudden pace, acceleration, and the whole crowd, when he got the ball, you know, just the atmosphere rose. Henry was very much the hardest working player on the team. You know, very much different roles, centre forward, full forward. And when you're full forward, your job is to get the ball into me and I'll do the rest. Right, Henry was the grafter. He led the whole structure of the team, organising positions out there. Because when you're centre forward, you know, you get to see the role a little bit different out there. And he's very much, you know, the hardest working. I think a few games he mightn't even have scored, but he came out man of the match because of his work rate, blocking, hooking, and then creating other scores for his teammates. So I think that DJ and Henry had two different roles. But I wouldn't say no to any of them.
The thing that's been a theme throughout all the 32 counties has been those that are still playing, unfortunately, are at a disadvantage. Do you read into that? Do you care about the fact that your legacy has often been spoken about at this point and you are compared with the greatest to have ever played the game? Like, I mean, is it something that you can read into at all?
You can't and you can. Obviously, yeah, look, it's nice to be recognised up there, but I'm not finished yet. It does inspire you on to be better. It does inspire you on, okay, look, I'm at this stage, how can I get to the next level, or how can I overcome all these people? So yeah, look, it very much does inspire you. Not gonna lie, it gives you that motivation, that drive, and it gives you a kind of that extra push. But look, yeah, you can't read into it. You're only as good as your last game. Look, it's nice to be recognised. But I think yes, when you retire, you get to cherish those awards even more. And I think it's when you get to, you know, I'm 32 now, and when you get to the 30s, the later stage, you appreciate the game more. You appreciate being sent pictures. You know, when you're 21, you wouldn't imagine having a picture up in the wall or up in your mantelpiece. But now when you get to 30, 31, 32, you get to cherish those moments. And people, a lot of photographers from Sportsfile sending the best pictures around in terms of what games you've been playing on. And when you're only 21, 22, you wouldn't dream of putting up a picture of a game at home. But now you get to think a little bit different about it, and you get to cherish those pictures. And it's nice to look back on those pictures and those memories that you built over the years as well. And obviously when you retire, then you can appreciate those pictures even more. You know, I have people come to the house and you get to see the pictures as well, and you get to talk to them about those certain pictures. But one lovely one, which was in Croke Park, it was usually they have a picture of the Club All Ireland winning team inside in Croke Park. When you walk in, into the Hogan Stand, they have the football Club All Ireland, the hurling, and it's a big, massive picture. But lucky enough, I was up with some award, and they asked me to, obviously the Club All Ireland was being played the year after, so they were taking away that big picture of the team, and I was captain that year as well in 2015. So I have a big, massive picture of the whole team, and a picture of me lifting the cup, and I have that up in my kitchen at home. And you know, it's very cherishing to have those pictures.
Yeah, that's class. You have been listening to TJ Reid, who was today launching AIB's The Toughest Summer, a documentary which will tell the story of the summer of 2020, which saw an unprecedented halt put to GAA. The series is made up of 5 webisodes, as well as a full-length feature documentary to air on RTE1 on August 25th. TJ features in the first webisode that will be available on AIB's YouTube channel this Thursday. TJ Reid, fair play on everything you've done over the last few months. The children of Ireland, thank you, I'm sure, and the parents of Ireland, indeed. Thanks, William, for joining us.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.